These were angels. And they were in white clothing, and they were standing beside them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky or into the heavens? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." And so they were giving them reassurance. They were actually being prophetic and saying, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come back in the same way that you just saw him go up. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
I think that's a tremendous word of prophecy. It's instruction.
It's right.
It's information.
It is.
But it's also a word of prophecy.
Yes, and
so
assurance.
So get your eyes open.
That's right.
You know, frequently I tell the crowds when we get ready to pray on Tuesday night or we're doing a seminar someplace, I'd say, well, let's pray. And everybody drops their head. Now, I know we've been taught to do that.
I know.
But I keep telling the people, you know, look, Jesus is going to come down. He's not going to come up.
And sometimes you'd close your eyes to pray.
Sometimes.
I mean, we don't just have a set of rules
right
here that all the time we keep our eyes open. There are times when we do close our eyes to keep out all of the circumstances around us. But most of the time when Jesus prayed, he prayed looking up into heaven. He prayed with his eyes open. And that's what we encourage you to do. Be comfortable in this surrounding of supernatural beings and in with God and Holy Spirit.
You know, I have to tell you, I was part of a baby dedication down in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was there as a visiting speaker, but they said, would you mind taking part in this baby dedication? And so I was standing up there, and the minister there was praying over the baby and over this young couple that were just so delighted they had this new baby. And so as I have practiced, as sometimes I pray with my eyes open because I want to, man, if there's something happening that I can see, I want to see it. I was watching this baby, and this baby was totally unhooked from the natural, and it was staring up and seeing something. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe it was seeing someone. I believe it was seeing angels.
Mm-hmm.
And this little baby is just staring, and it was totally, I guess the word would be oblivious to the pastor. And the pastor was holding the baby, but the baby lost all contact, you might say, or all consciousness of the parents and the pastor and all the people around. And he was looking up. And I've seen that many times in infant dedications.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's almost like that scripture back. And here we have babies now looking up. But it says in Matthew 18:10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angel in heaven continually beholds the face of my Father who is in heaven.
That's right.
And I believe this matter of looking up, this baby was seeing these angels that are continually perceiving and having some communication with God the Father.
Oh, praise
and here
God.
I believe what these men were saying here in the book of Acts, why are you so hooked up to the natural?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you look up to the Spirit?
Yes.
The one that just left is going to come back the same way.
That's right. And we see here, now, many of you must realize that angels did not quit appearing to man on earth when Jesus went up to heaven. And here in Acts 5 and also in Acts 12, we see an angel of the Lord opening prison gates for Peter two times here. And in Acts 5, I love this chapter because Peter is put into prison. They lay hands on, well, in fact, Peter and several of the apostles, they lay hands on them and put them in a public jail because they're preaching the word of God, and the Jews are adamantly opposed to this. And an angel of the Lord, this is verse 19 of Acts 5, during the night opened the gates of the prison, taking them out. He said to them, now angels usually have a message for you. If some of you would just close your mouth and sit down and listen, your angel may have a blessed message for you. But here it says, go your way. This angel was telling the prisoners, go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. Now, they did this. Upon hearing this, they entered the temple about daybreak, and they started preaching all over again. Here they were thrown into jail, and they came right out, and they started teaching and preaching. And people came to the council and reported to the Senate that these guys were out of prison. So they went and checked the prison out, and here the doors had been opened and they were gone. And so they went and grabbed them and took them back. They got them, they arrested them again, as you would say today, and they proceeded to take them back to the council. And when they brought them, they stood before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and behold, you fill Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." Now, the angel had given them the message in verse 20, but Peter says, "We must obey God rather than men." This angel was a direct representative of God, and Peter took his words as God's words. Then he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." I'll tell you, Peter was not about to be closed on this. He wanted to announce this to everybody, that Jesus was Lord. Oh, praise God. It's exciting.
Okay, now, some of you are in a prison of some kind. You're in a prison of debt. You're in a prison of illness. You're in a prison of, maybe you're at a change in your career. Maybe you've lost your career. We're receiving a lot of letters from people saying, "My husband's 50 years old. He just lost his job, and we just don't know what we're going to do. Nobody wants to hire a man that's 50 years old." Well, we get letters like that. "Nobody wants to hire my husband. He's 30 years old, doesn't have any experience in that particular field." You feel like you're imprisoned and that you have no options. Get on your face before God and get that confirmation that God is going to take care of you. He's going to open prison doors. He's going to send those angels to clear the path for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not lost as a goose without any options.
That's right.
Now, the devil's going to want to say to you, "You need to just forgive up here. You need to give up and just throw it in. It's not going to work anyway, and God doesn't care. And plus that, he doesn't answer prayers anymore."
Well,
hey,
like here,
come on.
Like here, these men went against all odds.
All tradition.
That's right. And they had the threat of prison again, of beating, of severe beating, even maybe death. But they would not quit talking about Jesus. "We must obey God rather than men," Peter said. "And you must not compromise in your position where you're standing here. I don't care what the circumstances look like. You must not compromise your faith and your salvation for some lie from the devil." And you're right, Darren. We have listeners here that have believed the devil instead of God, but we must not compromise.
See, we don't care how high the walls are to the prison or how big the prison bars are or how many locks they got on the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you aren't in prison. I know that. But you feel like you are. You feel like you're in shackles and handcuffs and that you can't move, that every place you look there's failure, except when you look at Jesus. And when Jesus comes, he comes with all his glory. And when there's the glory there, there's finances. He's going to help you there. When Jesus comes, see, there's no sickness. There's no shadow of turning in Jesus. There's no sickness in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get the vision, not of your sickness, not of your situation, but you get your vision of Jesus. And when it says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his power delivered these men out of prison, he can deliver you today out of your prison.
Yes, amen.
Don't give up. Get a revelation of what he has for you, and then follow him.
Yes.
Say, "Lord, I know that you didn't love Peter and John and all these men in the book of Acts more than you love me."
That's right. I'll tell you, Darren, these teachings have done so much for me. I hope they're doing a lot for you, for your confidence in how God can send his messengers to your aid, to your side, anytime, day or night. They are there for you, because I have learned that I have not called on my angels enough, and I have not recognized them enough. They are encamping around us. They are dwelling around us. They're here all the time for us. And I pray that you will begin to ask God to open those spiritual eyes of yours, not your physical eyes, but your spiritual eyes, and ask him to give you a vision of who your angels
Amen.
Are and what they're for.
Father God, we cover this teaching with the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. We thank you that angels are real. They're here today. Open up our spiritual eyes to see them. Lord, help us to become acquainted with your ways in Scripture of how man deals with angels, has contact with angels, and we will forever be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father God, for the angels that are all around us, here to minister to us and for us. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.